Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Hope Chapel, especially our live stream audience. Paul and Ainsley Harmon here. We're honored to be the pastor of Hope Chapel. We just love this place, and we love what God's doing in the midst of us. Remember, we're all about just reaching the lost, seeing those who are lost kind of found. You know, people don't even know they're lost sometimes. So we like seeing Jesus save the lost, then disciple the saved, and then send them off to do something exquisite that only they've been gifted to do. Well, part of what Hope Chapel does, we love our discipleship course. It's called Reaching for the Crown. And we launched that in April the 8th of last year. We have our full, complete square one, square two, square three, square four graduates. And it was such a big deal. We wanted you to see it. But even last Wednesday, we had square one graduates. So we're going to just show you the photograph if you missed that. There they are. They completed the first square. Yep. And four of them were missing. They had a perfect record of attendance, and then somehow they missed their first, or last one, I should say. But today, we're going to just briefly let you see in person, and then I'd like to have a photograph of all of us, but here's our first one we would like to have come up. And then if you would, let's all stand up here and receive that wonderful recognition. Here we go.
Lori Ann Sawicki.
So Lori Ann, way to go, Lori. Beautiful certificate. Well done, Lori. Yep.
Douglas Zimmer.
Douglas Zimmer. We know him as Doug. Hi, Doug. Well done. Well done, Doug.
Carol Berglund.
Carol Berglund, we are here. Yep. Carol, way to go. All four squares. It's been an amazing journey all year. Total four square.
Dave Koopman.
Dave Koopman. We was here first service. This little medallion shows perfect attendance, so we'll I'll keep that one. Huh? I just had to say it. He missed his own completion. Here we go.
Linda Eschke.
Linda, come on up here. We're grateful. Yep. How wonderful. Well done. Wow. And perfect attendance.
You're... Lynn Eschke.
All right. Lynn. Well done. Beautiful looking name on that beautiful looking certificate. Good job, my man. Yeah.
Barbara Ferrillo.
Barbara. Oh, there she is. Oh, she's going to take... You're going to take the long way through right here. Yeah, God bless you. Well done, Barbara. It's great.
Jeffrey Hilty.
Jeff, come on, Jeff. Way to go, friend. We're going to let you stand right there. You can be on that side. Start that line.
Mariana Hilty.
Yep. Mariana, I hear you're online. So perfect attendance, but you're one of those as well. So... Why don't you take that to your wife? It'd be great.
Kelly Marvin.
Ooh, Kelly Marvin. Okay, Kelly, thank you. Very involved, very active. Congratulations. Here you go.
Kathy Lynn Mims.
Kathy Lynn. Well done, Kathy Lynn. All four squares. This is quite a commitment on Wednesday nights. Good job. Come on over there.
Karen Prelznick.
Karen, talk about a Swedish treat. How's that? Yeah. Way to go, Karen. Well done, friend.
Roger Prelznick.
Way to go, Roger. Educator all his life, and here he continues to be a lifelong learner. Well done, Roger.
And Bobby Shaw.
Bobby. Way to go. Round that out. Praise the Lord. Can we just thank all of them for their contributions and their great work? So we're going to go ahead. Let's take a look at the camera here, everybody. Hold your certificates up. Here we go. All right. How wonderful. Well, let's go ahead and applaud all of them as they head their way. That's a big deal. Their next leg of this journey is they're going to sit down with me. We're going to look at what's called their personal profile, what they feel their giftings are, what they feel their particular talents are, and it's really pretty exciting. And talk about a talented man. Thank you. Thank you, Derek. Appreciate that. Hey, if you missed prior to coming on in, as you know, we're wanting to hand out just invitations, not only to the big Easter egg hunt, but also our Pierside Sunrise Service, our services here. We're going to have Jesus House join us. We're going to have a professional photographer taking photographs. It's going to be an exquisite day, but we want to send you off in a happy way to your own destination. But I'll tell you, nothing like coming to church. Isn't that true? You're just like, man, I feel complete. And how about that much more so when it comes to Easter? Would you please come on out at 10 o'clock this Saturday, 10 to 12, help us invite. There's some other areas that we'd like to see completed. And it was really very engaging with regards to realizing once you get outside the doors here, there is a whole slew of thousands of people within walking distance of this church that need to be invited. When you see that, it's a safe neighborhood. They're just like you and me. They're just trying to survive, and they're waiting to be invited. So thank you for that. I'm going to pass that on to Ainsley. Thank you, honey. I want to go ahead and just take now your Bibles in hand. I hope that you have your Bible. Let's make sure we get our bulletin card in our hot little hands as well. This is our final week of our life groups. We're going to pick up again in close to the beginning of April. But let's go ahead and just be prepared because we're in a series. Hey, I have my my annual Bible reader. I hope that you're following through or just go on the resource tab of our website and get that. You know, today, I just want to encourage you, man, we are in for March the 10th. We're in Numbers 20, Numbers 21. Whoo! How many went through Leviticus and cleared that hurdle? Huh? I sped read. I just wanted to, and if there's, but it is interesting because Numbers 20, all the action starts happening. You have Moses gets a little ticked off and he strikes the rock. He's kicked out of going into the promised land. Has anybody ever discovered that people can get you so mad you kind of like lose your Christianity? Huh? Yeah, just three of you. Okay. Well, you can relate to Moses. Man, and then Aaron, the high priest, he dies. Then you have something called the brass serpent. Whoa, some of you are into brass. I see some of those bracelets. But check it out, chapters 20, 21. Let's get back into the book. We're reading the Bible through in a year, three chapters a day, and you can do it. Everybody say, you can do it. Now turn to somebody and say, get into the book, man. Huh? Somebody didn't say that. Yeah. So once again, here we go. We're taking a look at, it's today's part two, but we're looking at our series. Our series is entitled, The Holy Spirit in You. The Holy Spirit in You. For you who have received Jesus in your life, you know that God is in you by the Holy Spirit. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. So you can see that slide actually says what that is going on in that area. Our next, as we take a look at part two, today is the Holy Spirit's convicting role. The Holy Spirit's convicting role. There's something we need to talk about, and I think it's going to be transformational. And I would even guarantee I'm already sensing that some of us are going to have some breakthroughs here this morning. Amen. When you are singing, feeling God is a God who works miracles, that's coming. And it's coming within a few moments. You believe that? Your breakthrough is going to come. I'm believing that. I believe if you just kind of walk it out with me just a little bit, God's going to be doing that. So it's going to be very, very important. But first, heard a cute one. Middle-aged woman had a heart attack. She's on the operating table. She asked God, is this it? He said, no, I'm going to give you another 40 years. She gets excited. Stays in the hospital, decides to get a facelift, decides to get a tummy tuck, decides to get liposuction. 2 months later, she leaves the hospital, truck hits her, kills her. She's facing God and says, God, I thought you said I had 40 years. God said, I'm sorry, I did not recognize you.
Yeah.
So we need to recognize the Holy Spirit, and that's part of today's message. The role of the Holy Spirit is to bring conviction. It's a good thing. You know, it's interesting because our technology today is amazing because you and I navigate to our destination oftentimes using GPS. And we go on our phones, we set in that area of our destination, and right away, isn't it amazing, we'll hear something called
starting route to Sacred Mountain Julian.
Ooh, right away, there we go. There we go, I'm ready to go. So you can see here that we have an opportunity, just like our navigational center starts to direct us to our destination. There are times we might miss that turn. And we'll hear that same voice say, return to the route, return to the route. Now, it's interesting because this same navigational center, we don't debate that. You don't get upset saying, I'm just a terrible driver. Or, wait a minute, this thing's judging me. Because it's my truth, I know a better way to go. So we never debate that about our GPS. But that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does for you who are born again. God speaks to us in ways that we call conviction. Conviction will cause us to get redirected. It is not a negative thing. It's actually a very good thing that the Holy Spirit does for us. Now, I want us all to realize that God's positional system, his need for us to stay course, because we all want to follow Jesus, be true to that. So to pay attention to that voice, return to the root, return to the root, we sometimes could say, that thing's judging me. I'm going to just know how I'm going to proceed in my own fashion. So how do we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit? How do we make sure we're not having a problem thinking, man, what is God doing here? Because if you take a look at the role of the Holy Spirit, his convicting role over our lives as a positive thing, you'll be okay. If you see it as a negative, you're going to really have a problem. And you will not hear the voice of the Lord. Now, you still go to heaven. You might go to heaven all banged up, bruised, and who knows what. But God has a way to get us in the right direction. And it's important that we get a chance to take a look at that. So today, boy, the Lord is trying to lead people in what we would call life. We have a world that's broken, a world that's lost. We have marriages that are lost. We have parents that are lost. We have students that are lost. We have whole segments of our society that need the Holy Spirit to direct them. So to return to the root and say, I want to follow Jesus, it's going to be a big deal. How do we do that? How do we go about doing that? Number one, let's take our notes then. The Holy Spirit convicts to lead people to Jesus. That's why you're here today. Let's take a look here. I have John chapter 16, verse 8. So, Lord, thank you. Move by your Holy Spirit. You're here right now. And we sure do thank you. Man, you're going to do a great work. And, Lord, especially move to our friends who are joining us online. We're praying for you too, in Jesus' name. In John chapter 16, Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you'll see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. Now let's take a look at that for a moment. Letter A in your notes. He will convict the world of its sin. Now look, it's singular. That is not plural. So what is that sin the Holy Spirit's going to convict the world of? The element is that by nature, humanity is just prone to be flat sinners. And we need to see that. If you don't see that, you'll never see their need for Jesus. But that's the number one thing the Holy Spirit will be. Our true identity is that we are sinners. It really is something that you may or may not heard, but you can even just take the cutest little baby and say, is that the cutest little sinner I ever did see? And be prepared, as a parent or grandparent, what you're dealing with. But the Holy Spirit has to bring it to our attention. Humanity basically does a whole lot of wrong all the time. But our culture today is saying that basically humanity is good and it's just the environment that they're brought up. That's why they go bad. Well, if that's the case, if we're supposed to evolve into something really good in humanity, you and I know that's not the case. We are not evolving and evolving to a more loving group of people. There's no way that we are more compassionate or unified as a race. So we need something, and we need to be recognizing that people are sinners. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Isn't that what happened to you and me? Somewhere we realize, man, there's something wrong with me. Something wrong with me. And the Holy Spirit starts to move on us, which brings us to letter B. He will convict the world of God's righteousness. What is that? Well, there's only one way of righteousness, and that's through Jesus. Amen. God's way of righteousness for you and me is to take on the righteousness of Jesus. That's God's point. That's God's pick. That's God's desire for you and me. Man, to say, I'm undone, please forgive me, and not refill me with righteousness of God in Jesus, I'm doomed too. So I need the Holy Spirit to say, Jesus is it. He's the one. You need him. So it's important we get a chance to recognize the very important thing. Now, the world believes in relativism. What does that mean? That there's no absolute truth. That somehow everybody has their own truth. So to say that Jesus is the only way, man, that's out of sorts with society. But the Bible says Jesus is the only way. He himself says, I am the way, the truth, and life. So the Holy Spirit has to convict and then convince, I need Jesus. That's how you and I got here today. We can't even take credit for it. Who's the Holy Spirit? That's what he's doing. He's working on us. Of all the names that are out in the religions of the world, you throw any other name that leads a religion, and nobody gets tripped up over them, but you bring up Jesus, man, people lose a gas cask. I mean, it's just like off the charts. Because Jesus is the only true answer to society. God's word says that. Works of darkness know that. Jesus is the answer. And Jesus is God's righteousness that has been revealed to this world. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So letter C, he will convict the world of coming judgment. So if a person says, okay, I don't really think I'm a sinner, and Jesus is just like one of many other ways to heaven kind of a thing. If we reject those two roles of the Holy Spirit, there's only consequence, Scripture says, called eternal judgment. Now, most people, if they were to think through, they got to recognize, Holy Spirit says, man, there's another life outside of this realm of life. And to realize we all live forever. We all live forever, but we pick where we're going to choose to spend that forever. We had a beginning, but we're going to live forever. And that's very important because you can write down 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. It literally says, those who do not obey the word of God or believe, their destination is eternal destruction away from the glory of God. Verse 9, it's right there. You can just say, man, it's right there. It's written. So it's important. The Holy Spirit, though, has to reveal that still to people. So how do we get rid of our sin? Well, you know it's a redemptive thing. It's everything focuses in on the cross this Easter. Everything does. So important for us because Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, you can write that down. Remember when Jesus is hanging there and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine? That just sounds like, man, God bailed on him too like he has me. No. The pure Son of God, spotless Lamb of God, had no inkling what sin was. And when your and my sin came upon him, that's when it happened. That's when it happened. That all of a sudden the Father, perfect unity, never separated. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Sin comes on. My sin came upon him. And the Father could not look at him. He's of a pure eye, Isaiah 70 says he's pure. And Jesus felt for the first time rejection. Oh, for you and me. My sin came upon Jesus. Your sin came upon. If you've never seen that, you don't understand the cross. And it's at that time, that's why The Holy Spirit brings conviction on if you refuse to recognize I'm a sinner in need of saving, and I'm in need of the only solution of God's righteousness is Jesus. There's only one other solution. So it's important that the Holy Spirit gets that. And we recognize that beautiful conviction is, it, remember, it's rerooting. Holy Spirit works to convict. It is not to judge us. That is not, when as Christians now, it is not to get us judged. It's to reroot us back on track to follow Jesus. Man, I need the Holy Spirit to remind me where I'm off pace, out of step. So number two, the Holy Spirit convicts to lead people in life change. Now, this is where you and I come in. You who are saying, man, I'm all about God. Well, this is what the Holy Spirit does, because it says very clearly, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I selected that because you can see all three members of the Godhead, God the Father, the Spirit that sanctifies you, which means separating you from those contaminants to make you more capable of walking holiness or in the path for Jesus. And how? Because of that wonderful work of Jesus on the cross, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. So when we look here for a moment, it's important. The ongoing work of the Holy Spirit's progressively helping us. How does he do that? Conviction. The convicting role of the Holy Spirit. Not to judge us. Really to reroot us. Return to the root. Return to the root. Oh, get out. Get out. So we can see here, it's so important for us. So how do I know the Holy Spirit's convicting me? How do I know? What does it feel like? Oh, let's do it. Letter A, sin makes you miserable as a follower of Jesus. Now, I'm talking about a follower of Jesus. Because before you followed Jesus, before you surrendered your life to him, sin had no effect on you. But when you became a born-again follower of Jesus, that new nature came on you, the Holy Spirit's within you, and you just don't, you are lousy at sinning. I've seen some of you, you need to repent. No, I was just kidding. But it doesn't feel the same way. Look what it says here in Psalm 32. In Psalm 32, when I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me, and my strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Now, this is not God making us miserable. This is not God making us miserable. He's trying to get us back, reroute. But this is us. This is me making myself miserable. This is me not turning things around. Given a new nature when we accepted Jesus, sinning just, it does not get along too well with it. That's what's happening. Praise God for that. We really need, after you've given your life to Jesus, we really want to encourage Christians, get discipled, learn how to cooperate with the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is almost like foundational material, but it's important. It's transformational. Your old nature could enjoy sin in the past. Now, after Jesus, your new nature, it cannot. It cannot. And life is miserable. So it's important that we get a chance. Most miserable people I have observed when I was in that state of noncompliance is really Christians that just don't really follow and obey. So it should probably have that warning line. Be ready. You really want Jesus. He's going to come after you. He's going to never leave you nor forsake you. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us because he loves us and embraces us. So letter B, our response is to confess and follow again. Remember, return to the root. The role of conviction, return to the root. Psalm 32, once again, verse 5, says, "Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone." Boy, that sure feels good, doesn't it, friends? I know, you know, it's just, there's just certain times I know I need to make a change. And it starts with, "Lord, please forgive me." We need to see confession of sin as a course correction. That's all. It's a course correction. God's asking me, don't do that again. I'm going to obey him. Lord, I am sorry. Boy, there's something of just life comes in. And I really thank the Lord for that. Matter of fact, forgiveness is always guaranteed. Always guaranteed. Always. You will always be forgiven. It's available today. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, check it out with me, says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful." I like faithful people, don't you? And always count on faithful people. "He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness, all unrighteousness." Boy, that's a great nature of our Savior. It's important. So let me differentiate just a little bit between conviction and condemnation. Because condemnation is really, you've got a spiritual enemy and he's going to want to remind you that you probably will not be forgiven. It's just usually condemnation makes us feel ashamed. I find condemnation doesn't want me to ask for forgiveness. Condemnation makes me run from God. Usually Christians are on the run when they just don't want to ask for forgiveness. Condemnation will also produce hopelessness. And that hopeless condition lingers till we realize, what's going on? Where did I go wrong? Oh, the convicting role of the Holy Spirit, that course correction, it really is a good thing. It's not a judgmental thing. I like Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says this, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." I like that. So no condemnation, no condemnation. Conviction, holy, that's a good thing, course correction. No condemnation, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That term, that's the old 70s term, "Hey bro, how's your walk lately?" Well, what they mean by that is, are you walking in obedience with Jesus? How's your walk? I'm doing good. I'm, you know, reading my Bible, maybe going to church, giving a little bit more than I normally. That's kind of a good sign. But the area of walk is you're walking not according to the flesh. There's no condemnation. So what if we resist or ignore the Holy Spirit's convicting role in my life? What happens? Letter C, resisting the Holy Spirit can damage our ability to listen and to follow. That is always a concern of a pastor because we're trying to grow people up. And those grown-up Christians go and help their families, go and help their neighborhood, go and help their business sector. Those grown-up Christians know how to just kind of walk in the Spirit. But if we're not hearing from the Lord, it can be pretty problematic. Had a conversation a while back with another young lady in another state. And we were just discussing, well, Holy Spirit can show you that. They started off saying, "I have not been able to really enjoy reading the Bible. It's like a closed book." And she loves the Lord, faithful to her church. But her marriage is not going well. And so I asked, "What has the Lord showed you?" And she said, "I have not heard from the Holy Spirit in a long time. Used to." So my suggestion was, well, get on your knees again, go back and ask God, "What was the last thing I said no to you on? Help me to remember where I said, no, no deal. I'm not going to do that." Those kinds of things will cause us not to hear from him. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. It says this, "Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters," so it's talking to Christians, "make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it's still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. So to resist the Holy Spirit when he says return to the root can actually harden our hearts. Harden our hearts against God, hearing God, or even hearing his word. It really does happen. It happens. So when we take a look, and then what's important to recognize that sin, which is very real, causes us to be deceived. Sometimes we're not even sure where we're at, because sin will cause solid Christians to go far away, much farther than we want to go away from God, and stay away much longer than we want to stay away from God, until we say, Lord, forgive me. So where do we go? Number three, how do we stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit's convicting work? Letter A, a commitment to obedience. A commitment to obey. How is yours and my ability to obey God when we feel he's speaking to us either through his word, or maybe even today? Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So you and I talked last week how the Holy Spirit is sorrowful. Sometimes when we just say, no, I'm not, that we just kind of feel a little sorrow inside. We don't feel very happy. It's kind of like as parents or grandparents, we love our kids, but if they don't obey us, there's real deep sadness in us as parents. We understand what the scripture's saying here. Same when our parents observe the children are doing well, they obey. It's like ultra joy. You can sense the Holy Spirit being happy when we obey. So what is your commitment to God's word? So it's going to be important. Confidence in knowing that God has my best is going to be a big, big step. Do you believe God has your best interest when he wants you to shift or adjust? I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. Maybe today you can choose a new commandment of just, I'm going to commitment to obey. I'm just going to obey. Letter B, a willingness to surrender. That's important. So a commitment to obey, a willingness to surrender, that just sounds like utter surrender. It really is, because Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, so I say to you, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. That's the surrender. Remember, we use the three-letter word, let, L-E-T. We choose to let the Holy Spirit guide our lives or not. We can choose to guide our own lives, but that's a choice. So that's the element of surrender. Happen to begin making the choices every day. Lord, help me to follow your lead. If what I know to do, I'm willing to do that. And then letter C, a habit of daily confession. Habit of daily confession. Now, it's interesting. We'll go back to 1 John 1:9. Simply, it just says, if we confess our sins. There is something, remember, that conviction of the Holy Spirit, it's not judgment. It's not. It's not to bring judgment. It's to bring a course correction, get us back on route, return to the root, return to the root. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Man, if some of us may have lost our way, I'll tell you the Holy Spirit will help us. You just lean heavily on him. You watch. Airline pilots have this term. They call it the 1 in 60 rule. If they are off 1 degree... and they travel 60 miles, they will miss their destination by 1 mile. If they travel 600 miles, but they're off 1 degree, they'll miss their destination by 10 miles. And naturally, 6,000 miles off 1 degree, they'll miss their destination by 100 miles. I find my time with Jesus, I can do the little small little course corrections. It's very difficult when something full-on blown up. I find that's very hard. It almost feels like God's got to give me a little knuckle punch. Just like, oh. So I can make course corrections that are very small. That's why every day, Lord, is there anything in me that you see needs to be applied or set down? You let me know, Lord. I'm willing to make that change. I can change. So how are you responding to that convicting work of the Holy Spirit? Boy, that's a good one. Let's let him do that right now. Shall we do that right now? I know the Holy Spirit's right now in this room. This could be a real victory for so many people, because they recognize now that the Holy Spirit's here to help us and move us into right ways. Do you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit? Do you feel him tugging on your heart? Matter of fact, I know I want to make more of a commitment to let him lead my life. Is that your call? I'm going to stand and declare that. Would you like that? Does anybody else want to stand with me right where you're at? Just stand and say, man, I'm going to make my life and a commitment to stand and allow the Holy Spirit to lead my life. And if I need to make course corrections, even the possibility of confession. I tell you, it could be a breakthrough. So important. One of the things that I have found that sometimes people who are needing a miracle, and this is the miracle for us today, right now, it's going to happen right now. James chapter 5, verse 16, if anyone confesses his trespass, sins, and prays for that person, they will be healed. That's an amazing thing. Trespass sin is like the no fishing sign. You jump the fence and you go fishing. We knew we shouldn't do that. We did it anyway. God is here to bring healing. God is here to bring forgiveness through Jesus. We know that. But I want to have us do something here. Let's believe the Lord as you're willing and you're in a safe place. You're willing to come up out of your seat. I know people will move. Say, you know what? I need to say I am making a course correction because I know I should not be doing this. Or I know I need to be doing something for God and I haven't. And I'm making that declaration. Lord, you know. You come forward. I'll guarantee there's going to be a major breakthrough in your life and probably some big time healing. When was the last time you gave something to God? We're in the season of Lent. Lord, I'm giving this to you. Sometimes the Lord may be causing us to want to maybe fast or maybe do something that's out of the norm. I'm going to ask you right now, would you come? Let's prepare our hearts and just come forward and just line up and face the cross, and Ainsley are going to pray for you. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.